Welcome to the Mara Coward Broadcast. The Mara Coward Broadcast is a God-driven, God-centered, God-inspired talk show featuring God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And today is Wednesday. That means we're also featuring Brother Tony Myers, who has become a good friend, a good brother, and so much more. And is also God-driven, God-centered, and God-inspired. And once again, Brother Tony Myers has invited one of his friends. And I must say this, every one of Brother Tony Myers' guests that he has invited on the Mark Howard Broadcast has been a tremendous blessing. And I'm not just saying that for hyperbole. They really, really have. They've been open and forthright. It's just been amazing. And I'm expecting no less from Brother Chuck Barchuk, who is also here today. But I want to say this first. For those of you who may be tuning in new, Brother Tony Myers is an amazing man of God. This is a man of God who was cured of Lou Gehrig's disease. Yes, now I know many Christians may say, well, God does heal. Some of us will still believe that God heals. But the thing is that God healed Brother Tony Myers when he was an atheist. That's right, you heard me correctly, when he was an atheist. And every time I think of that, I just say, I am so amazed at the love, the mercy, and grace that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ has shown us. And ever since, Brother Tony Myers has been healed of Lou Gehrig's disease. It's like he's on this quest and this mission to simply tell as many people about that God is still healing. He loves us. He's merciful. He's gracious. And he's even, I mean, as we go through the broadcast, Brother Tony Myers can give you all the details on everything that he offers you from YouTube, Facebook, books, which I have them all. And I just want to thank God for Brother Tony Myers and Brother Chuck Barchuk, who I'm looking forward to meeting. Brother Tony, go ahead, sir. Brother Tony.
I'm here. Page 36. Don't call me sir, especially if you've read my books.
Okay. Now, that is Brother Tony Myers. All my regulars, you know Brother Tony Myers. Brother Tony Myers, go ahead. It's all yours now.
Heavenly Father, we thank you, as always, for this platform to share truth with. Let this reach open hearts, open minds, as to the availability of healing for everyone. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, y'all. I got an awesome guest, a personal friend of mine, as most of my guests are, and I'm going to pretty much let him tell you. He's a regular guy, just like I'm a regular guy.
Okay? Absolutely.
And we are just people that have decided to seek the truth. And what you seek is what you find, right?
Amen.
Seek, amen, you that. Find it. Amen. And so Chuck's been on this journey. And one thing that I love about Chuck is he's a drummer, and he's a teacher, and a whole bunch of other things. He teaches drums and music, I think. But anyhow, so before further ado, I want Chuck to bring us on with a drum roll, please. Come on.
Oh, my goodness. Hold on a second. All right. Okay, here we go. There you go.
All right. Oh, Brother Chuck, I must say this before we even start. You are a drummer and you also teach drums, correct?
Yes, that's my background. That's actually in jazz.
Well, I'm a bassist. That's my background. I also play organ and guitar. And in the day, before the Lord, we went quite far. As a matter of fact, I don't know how old you are. We was guesting on the Johnny Carson Show. We opened up for Chicago, Sly and the Family Stone, Aretha Franklin, you name it. Woo! But I was not saved, Dennis, so most of my success went to drugs. I'm going to be honest with my audience. And Brother Tony, he knows I've told him pretty much everything. But to hear another musician, as I always say, Brother Tony's guests never they always surprise me. They always surprise me. So I'm so happy to have you. And another brother musician also is a plus for me. Go ahead, Brother Chuck.
And notice, the drumsticks were right handy. It took like 2 seconds for him to grab them.
Yeah, that's true. Where
half
are you?
The time when we're talking, he's drumming while we're talking. Okay.
So yeah, they're right next to me, so it's they're always handy.
So you are a gifted musician if you're doing that. I hear what he's saying. You're a gifted musician.
Since first grade, and I've been doing it my whole life. I'm going to turn 45. So
I got to tell you, I used to walk around doing the fingers. You know, like when you're walking.
Yeah,
around.
Yeah.
I used to walk around constantly doing it, no matter what. I would roll my fingers like you're playing the bass all the time, and it was just a habit. I did it, and I learned in the fourth grade. They said I was too noisy, too whatever. In those days, they didn't give you drugs. They said he needs something to slow him down. So they gave me a language, which was Spanish, that didn't slow me down. Then they gave me German, that didn't slow me down. Then they gave me an instrument. They said give him music, and they said pick an instrument. I picked the biggest thing I could have found, which was the bass. That slowed me down. I loved music. I played it. I really did well, and I wish I was saved at that time because we would have really been successful. But God is merciful and good no matter what. How did you come to the Lord, Chuck?
Now, hold on. Let me interrupt.
Please.
Let's first say this. When the truth, and it is as accessible, becomes as accessible as, you know, Chuck when he's talking. He'll take a drumstick, twirl it around, do all that stuff too, without thinking about it. That's where we need to be with the truth.
You know, Brother Tony,
where it just flows out of us.
Brother Tony, you said something, and I must repeat what the Holy Spirit said to me. Brother Tony plays the sledgehammer.
Yes, I do, and I do it quite well. Thank you.
Get over it.
I was going to say that, Brother Tony, you didn't let me finish again. That always happens. He finishes my thought, I finish it. Yes, and he plays it very well. So I want to say we're all musicians here now. Brother Chuck, as I was saying, your background, sir.
Well, I didn't grow up in the church either. I mean, my parents sent me to church when I was a kid. I think they just felt like it was the right thing to do, but God was not a central part of my life growing up. Now, I was never an atheist, but it was just more of an afterthought that there was a God, great. If there wasn't, that's fine too. So long story short, through most of my life, I lived my life my own way. And Anthony, actually very similar to yours as well. I partied quite a bit and a lot of stupid stuff throughout most of my 20s. But I really was only saved about 8 years ago.
Wow.
So I was living my life. Everything was great, man. I didn't have a care in the world. And then all of a sudden I got stricken really bad with, out of the blue with depression, anxiety, panic attacks that produced also some other physical issues from high blood pressure, just to some other things. And just within a 24-hour period, literally, my life went from at the top of the mountain to a downward spiral that I didn't know where it was headed. I went to bed one night feeling great, woke up the next day, everything had changed. It happened that quick. And I basically woke up that following morning with the dreaded feeling that life was meaningless. Wow. It's almost like out of a Seinfeld episode where if you had a camera at the foot of my bed and I just rise up out of bed, my upper torso, and I just had this dreaded feeling that life was just a big Monopoly game where you put the pieces back in the box when you're done. And and all of a sudden everything became and felt meaningless. And I just went down this trajectory of depression just out of the blue. It was so random, unexplainable. I didn't have any past history with depression or any of that kind of thing. I'm one of the most laid back, happiest people you would ever meet. But all of a sudden I find myself dealing with panic attacks and all these other issues. And so initially, I didn't know how to deal with it. I actually blamed God if he existed at the time. That's how I felt. I was like, Lord, if you exist, it's your fault. And I blamed him for most of those problems. And so it was that period of time lasted a couple of years, and I had a lot of rough. It was rough. I definitely would not want to repeat it. But honestly, I have to say, despite me blaming God for everything, He never left me. And actually, through that, you know, I mean, talk about working all things for your good. So through that, I came to faith. And that's a long journey in and of itself, but that would take a lot of time to kind of explain. But through that, it led me to faith. So initially, I found a church. That took a little bit of time. And I started attending the church where I'm at now. And so initially, I'm learning these things about the Bible and about God. And so at first, it just went from, okay, I'm now saved, to now what do I need to do? Okay, so the church basically sort of teaches my church this checklist. Okay, you got to do this, stop doing this. And so I felt convicted. I was like, okay, well, I definitely want to please God, you know, da, 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 da. So I start, okay, I'm going to cuss less. I'm going to do more of this, less of this, a lot more of this, stop this over here entirely. And so I tried to go through and start doing all these things, and I was failing at it miserably. And I found myself just in greater and greater and greater bondage. Wow. You know, so now I come to God, which I thought was what he wanted me to do after through all that, those panic attacks. I was coming out the other side of that. Okay, but now I'm being introduced into religion, and that just gave me further bondage. And I just found myself going, is this how it works? I mean, because I was just as miserable as I was prior. And so now I'm trying to get out from underneath this. I'm trying to be what I think God is telling me I need to do in order to be obedient based upon, you know, how the church teaches, you know, that kind of mixture of old and new covenant that a lot of churches are stricken with.
Yes.
And man, and I was just living a defeated life. I was like, God, I can't do any of this. You know, and I was tired of trying to do it. And so from there, you know, now at this point, I hadn't started reading the Bible myself. I didn't know you could. Okay. My relationship with God was very, I didn't trust God, honestly, at this time. I said that out loud. I had even a Stevens Ministry person that was meeting with me regularly to help me with some of the, again, depression issues I was experiencing. I told him regularly, yeah, I don't trust God. So my viewpoint of God was not very good. At this point, my viewpoint of Christians wasn't very good because most of my initial relationships with Christians was a negative one. Mm. So. You know, I come to faith, but yet my first introduction to the church and the religion of Christianity was awful. So I was like, God, listen, I can't do this. I can't do this. So either, you know, if there's another way, can you lead me to it? Otherwise, you know, I think I'll just rather take my chances and do my own thing. So he... From there, he ironically led me to start listening to a little bit of Joseph Prince. As actually through Joseph Prince, who teaches a lot on our righteousness in Christ, that's what really, that was the catalyst that kind of changed my trajectory of the way I was thinking and the way I was believing about God. And so that, once I embraced that righteousness by faith as a gift, I was immediately set free from a lot of the bondage, the guilt and shame and condemnation, because I just embraced it immediately, and I was set free from all that stuff. So now I'm at my church. I'm starting to believe differently, and I'm being set free from things. My relationship with God is changing. I'm starting to actually view God as good. I then start getting I started coming down with some more health problems. I had I don't know if it was a growth or a tumor or something was inside of me that, wasn't good. I was worried about it, but at this time I was starting to learn a little bit about healing, you know, that God did provide this through the finished work of Christ, but I still didn't know that much. And so instead of going to a doctor, and at this point I had such bad experiences with doctors during all that time. I was dealing with panic attacks and depression because I had me on this medication, that medication, dealing with the side effects of all these medications. Doctors just basically, you know, treat me as a guinea pig, sent me to the ER several times. I just had enough of doctors. And I did everything from different diets and homeopathic things to get me free from all that stuff. None of it worked. So now I have this new challenge coming at me. I'm like, okay, well, Lord, I don't want to go that route, and I'm not going to go that route. So either you have something for me, or whatever is the result is going to be the result. And so that's really what started me down this path. And I didn't know it at the time of healing, walking as a son of God, as well as, you know, everything else. Because I was really conflicted. You know, the church is saying, well, hey, sometimes it's God's will that you're sick. Sometimes he teaches you lessons with sickness. And so I had all these things as I'm seeking God going, man, maybe it's his will that I have this issue, whatever it is. And so I'm struggling. And now at this time, I start reading the Gospels for the first time ever. I'm reading Jesus healing every single person that came to him. So now I'm going, what, you know, so I'm stepping back. I'm going, God, what is the deal here? I'm looking at my church is teaching this stuff that God may want you to be sick. He may be teaching you a lesson, might be his will for you to be sick. And I see the church sick and defeated as much so as the world. But here I'm reading the Gospels and Jesus is healing every single person that comes to him.
Amen.
So I'm going, Lord, you're either the same or you're not. If you're not the same, then you don't exist. And I'm like, at this point, I was like, you got to get me on the path to some truth here or I'm done. So really, I was just, I kind of hit this crossroads where I was sick of all this garbage, you know, and so it was like trying to find truth. Was like trying to find a needle in a haystack. And I was going to church at this time. I was on the worship team at this time.
Wow.
And so again, I'm trying to give you the short version, but so through that, you know, he led me, you know, so I was learning more about healing and our righteousness through Joseph Prince, that was a blessing to me. And that's really what set my course. And so I learned a lot about the truth of that, as well as, you know, receiving healing through Holy Communion, which Pastor Prince, you know, teaches a lot on that. And that's ultimately the pathway I went. And I was healed of that issue. I don't know what it was. I don't know what it was. I never went to a doctor for it. Okay, but ultimately I was set free from it. And at this point, I didn't realize I'm getting out of the boat and not realizing it. You know, so I'm like, wow, okay, well, Lord, you set me free from this. I was like, okay. And I was like, well, Lord, you know, I have real bad astigmatism in my eyes. You know, I'm having to wear glasses. Can I just be rid of this nonsense too? And, you know, I just felt him saying, well, do you think you can be? I was like, well, gosh, yeah, of course. I mean, you're God. You can do anything, right? Again, I haven't read scripture that much. I finished reading the Gospels and I'm trying to develop this relationship and get rid of all this bad stuff I had learned. And a lot of just the unbelief you accumulate from the world, and you don't realize how much junk you accumulate, you know, living in this world. And so I'm seeking. Again, it's not a perfect walk, but now my eyes are back to 20/20 vision. So I'm like, oh, wow. I was like, okay. You know, and then there's some other issues, you know, where, you know, ears and other things. And I was ultimately, it was not always easy. It didn't always happen when I wanted it to. And I had frustrations, but it just one thing after another. And I was, you know, ultimately set free from all of it. All of these things. And they just, after a while, they just melted off of me like butter on a hot day. And then, you know, that walk, I've been doing this walk of trusting God for my health solely for about the past couple of years, about 3 years of trusting God entirely and walking in the finished work of Christ. Lord led me to meet Tony.
I was going to ask you that next.
We became fast friends, and I read all his books, and his teachings gave me more of the Holy Spirit dependence side of things, where before it was more of just from scripture. So he helped me with the Holy Spirit and that sort of relational aspect. He helped me with that the most because it was so messed up from just everything else that had happened to me prior. And so now I'm getting more of that balance. And, you know, he's set me free in a lot of other areas as well, his teachings. And so that's sort of the short version. And here I am walking as a son of God imperfectly, but I have experienced lots of fruit of belief. however imperfect it might be sometimes.
You know,
so there you go. There's the short version.
And Brother Chuck, in listening to you, I am utterly amazed how the Holy Spirit has used a Brother Tony Myers. Listening to what you were saying, you was like almost repeating my journey, in the sense that I was also in a church. I was also dedicated and religious. And I thank God for Brother Tony for so much time in trying to pull me out of religion, because I was also suffering what they call this cervical disc degeneration. And the doctors had me on this opioid. And I told him, I said, my personality, if you tell me to take 6 opioids a day, I'll be addicted in a week. And I was not kidding. I knew what I my personality. And he said, oh, no, take the opioid. And I didn't want to. And the pain was incredible. So I refused to take all that opioid because I know I would have been addicted to it. One night in the pain and stuff, I just cried out to God and said, there must be something, someone you can help me out and get over this. I put on my Amazon Kindle and I came across several books, several authors. And there was one that stood out, God Healed Me, an Atheist by Tony Myers. That's a paraphrase of his title.
Amen.
And you got it too. And it's amazing how I told how God is using him. And I said, I read the book, got it immediately, read that book and got another one. Then I said, I wonder if he can be on my broadcast. And then, of course, I got the contrary thoughts. Oh, he's busy. He's an author. He's probably know thousands of people. He doesn't have no time for you. So I said, you know what? I'm going to try it anyhow. So I wrote him at about 5 o'clock in the morning, an email. And I told him pretty much about me. And I asked him if he would be on my show. I never expected him to email me back. I said, well, you know, I just did it. But the next day, not 2 days, 3 days, 4 days later, he wrote me back and he's talked to me and explained things to me. And he said, yeah, I'll be on your show. I was amazed. I was amazed that he actually agreed, because I had contacted several other healing ministers, and I will use the word, you know, whatever. And then they never contacted me back. They never said anything. Only Brother Tony Myers, I know it was God engineered this, only Brother Tony Myers contacted me. And the thing is, I must have bothered him daily. I'm not kidding you. Daily, hour after hour. I was so deep in religion. And then he finally told me, whatever you learned in religion, get rid of it. Like you, I was a pastor's aide. I was on the secure. I did everything that pastor wanted me to do in the church. Didn't disrespect the pastor at all. But I was so caught up in doing. I have to do this to love God. I have to do this to do. I never got to know God because I was too busy doing everything, until one day my pastor said, Brother Ford, you don't have to do all that to please God. He already loves you. Yeah, now you're telling me that after, you know, I was in this since 1995. But all I had was religion. Do this, do that. It was Brother Tony Myers who had patience, I mean real patience, to tell me, no, you can't do that. You got to just believe. Stop self-evident. Then he started telling me, why don't you ask the Holy Spirit? He doesn't know this, but that was the most amazing thing he told me. I thought, what is this man talking about? Talk to the Holy Spirit. I never heard of the Holy Spirit in church. I never,
right?
All my years in church, I never knew you could speak in tongues, talk to the Holy Spirit. It was just go there, sing some songs, give some money, and hear a sermon, and that was it. I'm not denigrating it, because listening to you, it's like I'm saying, wow, Father, I wasn't the only one. It's like you said, I got 8,000 who haven't bowed down to Balaam. And listening to you, you're saying the same thing I did. Tony had a different experience, but it was basically the same thing, that we were taught a set of rules on how to live. And by the grace of God, Chuck busted out of it, Tony busted out of it, and Anthony busted out of it. Because now, like you, I'm slowly, my body is being restored. And I think a lot of it is me, because it's hard for me to grasp. I come from a family of sickness and illness and everything. And Brother Tony had explained to me one day, there's no such thing as generational curses and all this foolishness that I was brought up with.
But that's right. It is all garbage at the end of the day. It is.
Right. And we don't. And I was telling not too long ago, I was telling Brother Tony, why is the church? And he did a brilliant subject on generational curses. When I say he, Brother Tony, on generational curses and the courts of heaven and all this foolishness. And I was thinking, why isn't the church? Now, listening to you, Chuck, you say you're 45, right?
Yeah, I will be actually on the 18th.
I'm 66, and our relationships are parallel from the church. Same thing, religion. That's a 20-year difference, and I can say the same thing you said. All it was works, 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 more works and more works. And how do you please God? You got to be good. You got to do this. You got to do that. You know what? I never wound up doing that. It was a struggle until God led me to Brother Tony Myers and now Brother Chuck Barchuk, who was saying, you know what? I went through that too. I got
let me add this real quick. I apologize. I didn't mean to interrupt you, Anthony, but we grow up from the time we're knee high to a grasshopper to do. Everything is based upon merit. Do good, get good. Do bad, get bad. Study hard, you get rewarded. Work extra hours, you get that promotion, you get that raise. And we teach that to our kids really in the same way. I mean, the mark of maturity in your natural life is independence. But your mark of maturity in the kingdom of God is dependence.
Say that again.
Very good.
I said the mark of maturity in our natural earthly life is independence. You teach your kids to raise them up to move out on their own, to make their own way, to do things themselves. But the kingdom of God is always opposite. The mark of maturity in the kingdom of God is dependence. The more dependent you are on God, the more mature you are in walking in the kingdom. And so we grow up based on self-sufficiency. What can we do? How strong we are. Add religion onto that, and it exacerbates the problem even greater. And it can be very difficult to come out of that because everybody looks at everything, myself included. What do I need to do? Even with healing, what do I need to do? What do I need to not do? Everything becomes this tit for tat, do this, get this, 2 + 2 = 4. And we can't get out of that mindset because we look at everything through that lens.
Brother Tony is right. You are truly an inspiration. Chuck, you are an inspiration. And I cannot thank you enough for saying that. Look, I'm imperfect. I don't walk perfectly because, you know us Christians. I was spiritually arrogant, to be honest with you. But listening to you saying, I mean, forget it, disciples of Christ. If you wasn't like us, you were doomed. And listening to you saying, I walk in perfectly. And I asked Brother Tony Myers, I said, are you perfect? He said, no, I sin and mess up and do everything too. He said,
but it's not our righteousness.
Right.
It's not our righteousness.
God's righteousness. And so what are we striving for? When he already said, I did it. It is finished.
And the more we get that revelation that it's his righteousness, the easier we walk it out.
Thank you, Brother Tony.
And really, if we could do any of these things in all these areas, then the new covenant would have been like the old. God would have just made a list in every area of our life. All right, kids, do this. X, Y, Z, 1, 2, 3, 4. Do this for your diet. Do this for your health. Blah, 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 blah. In every area of our life, then you say, okay, go do it. But it's impossible. We can't do anything consistently and perfectly.
And when you said like that, Brother Chuck, not about 2 or 3 days ago, and I wanted to mention it to Brother Tony Myers, and I did, but you conked the memory. I guess the Holy Spirit saying, tell him now. I was reading the word, and then it kept coming to me. He said, it is finished. It is finished. And it dawned on me, why am I doing the things that I'm doing when he said it is finished? Why are you trying? Same thing Brother Tony was saying, except it came like much clearer. It is finished. That's what he said on the cross. It is finished. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to struggle. You don't have to strive. Just believe it is finished. But from my background like yours, being in religion, that appears to be the hardest thing for me to get over. I got to do something.
That's right.
Oh, gosh.
Sorry.
No. I was just saying that. And it's by listening to somebody like you, a Chuck Barchuk, a Brother Tony Myers, and all the other people that he's brought before this Mark Howard broadcast audience. Many people right now, they're just shaking their heads. Is this true? I don't have to tithe. And if I don't tithe, God's going to kill my son. If I don't come to church on every Wednesday at 9 o'clock, God's going to do a Bible study. God's going to do something to me. We've been taught that God is the God Father, as one pastor said. And I think it is so stifling and so refreshing to hear Chuck Barchuk say, I went through all that. I did all that. And God still had mercy on me and freed me. That's worth the whole. It's amazing.
And let me add this. I'd say the area where the Lord has taught me the most is through watching my son. Because early on, when I was wrestling with God on who he is and his character, you know, I would have feelings of, well, my son, I have a son who's in first grade. He's seven. There's nothing I wouldn't do for him.
Amen.
Nothing. He didn't have to beg me to provide some need. And he's not, you know, running around wondering, Daddy, did you work enough hours so that we have food on the table? Are you going to have a bed for me to sleep in? Are you going to provide this need or that need? And I started having the feelings like, wow, is it that I'm more compassionate than God? That would be ridiculous. And so these challenges of the teachings I'm hearing from the church makes it sound like we are more compassionate than God, that version of God. And that doesn't make any sense. And so the Lord started telling me, well, Chuck, if you would do this for your son, you being evil, you know that verse.
Yes.
Okay, which of you parents, if their child asked for bread, would give them a stone? Or if they asked for a fish, you'd give them a scorpion. You being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more your Father in heaven. And that's right. So he's taught me so much from being a father myself that where I get these attributes from God, if I would be this way towards my own son, and there's nothing I would do for him, then how much more? How much more? You know, I mean, and my son doesn't have to impress me. He doesn't have to come up to me and say, oh, thou father, speaking King James English, for me to respond to him. He doesn't have to sit there and do anything. He can just jump in my lap and say, Daddy. Abba.
Does he have to recite Bible verses to get to you?
No. Exactly. He doesn't have to do anything. And my love for him is not dependent on his performance.
And
whether he dots all his I's or crosses his T's. And I make sure that he knows that even in his schooling, you know, his name is Hudson. Like, Hudson, just do your best. Even if you don't do well, I love you and I'm still proud of you.
And you know what, Brother Chuck, and Brother Tony, once again, a phenomenal guest. I really, really appreciate Brother Chuck. When you was quoting that scripture, you know, asking you shall receive, seeking you shall find, knocking the door shall be open. For everyone who asks receives, everyone who seeks finds, everyone who knocks the door is open. Like you said, if your son asks for a piece of bread, would you give him a stone? If he asks for a fish, would you give me ill? And then the Lord said, well, if you being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will I give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? I thought, and Brother Tony had to help me, and I'm not puffing up here, I thought you had to cry, beg, moan, and fast for the Holy Spirit. Oh, I went through all kinds. And you know what? It's like God said, ask. What are you doing? Ask. I was, like you said, the King. Oh, mighty, merciful God, thou King of kings, Lord of lords. Great, 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 great. 10 greats. Mighty God, please send me the Holy Spirit. I mean, it's like I'm looking to myself now. And I'm saying, and Brother Tony said, you don't have to do all that. Just ask. And then when I just, that night, after he said, I just ask, the next thing I know, my mouth is open and things are coming out and I got scared. That's the first reaction was I got scared. Then he said, fear not. And then I started asking Brother Tony, can I talk in English? Do I talk? And he broke it all. I'm serious. I was like really novice at it. And I was going to ask you, have you had the experience of speaking in tongues as of yet? Or are you asking for that also?
Surabaka sar shada gur somato surabaka alerto mos sar shata usho maka sarabaka tatarata patura tabaka. How's that?
Kurumbreta sarir mashenka sarakanta sekunta.
Surabaka sa urta. Yeah.
They understand.
Of course.
Of course. Thank you. That's what he said. Of course.
Now, I came to it late, though. I didn't speak because I didn't know you could. Again, you know, my church, it's very old covenant minded, which it's the same church I still work at. I'm on staff there, but it's very old covenant minded. So I came to it late, and I just started doing it. Now, initially, when I started doing it, it was like, you know, da 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 ba 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 da da, and yeah, I'd be driving down the road, but I did embrace the truth of it. I just didn't, you know. I just kept an open heart about it. I didn't go in, you know, with a lot of preconceptions. And initially it was just very kind of gibberish, but I just kept doing it. And the language just kind of formed on its own. And so, yeah, I definitely do it regularly
and
now.
Let me point this out.
Please.
Is I've heard a lot of pastors who don't believe in speaking in tongues say, if you listen to them, then they start off as just stuttering. Well, how does a baby start off speaking? Da, 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 da.
Stuttering.
Yeah, stuttering. Come on. All right.
Amen. And listening to
Amen.
Listening to both you, Chuck, and you, Brother Tony, and I know that there's others in this Mark Howard broadcast audience worldwide. Every time Brother Tony brings a guest like you, Chuck, I sense people are like, they're sighing. Some are even weeping because they're saying that for years, like I was, you was in a church of do's and don'ts. And you're saying, you know, for years now, I cannot stop speaking in tongues. I get up in the morning, I'm talking in tongues. And I used to ask Tony, how long should I pray? Should I pray an hour, 2 hours? All this kind of foolishness. And Brother Tony says, how long do you talk to your wife? Well, I don't. Do you talk to her an hour and say, that's it? No, I talked to her all during the day. And now I found myself just doing what Brother Tony said do. And now I find myself talking for hours. And I never thought I would be able to do it. I'm saying, how is this? Because you're letting the Holy Spirit do it. You're not putting times on it and all this kind of stuff that we've got, you know. And listening to you, I'm saying, this is like, it's like one God. It has to be one God, one Father, and one Holy Spirit. Because Chuck, you're saying what I've been through, and like I said, I'm 66. You're 45. Brother Tony's 53. Correct, Brother Tony, or what is it? 50. I know you said that's last week. My point is this: we've all been through the world, we've been through the church, and we wound up with God.
Amen. I'm just so tired of hearing what Adam did being exalted over what Christ accomplished for us. Amen. I'm so sick of hearing what he did still being exalted. So I really the centerpiece of my belief is exalting what Jesus did, because it doesn't get exalted. It's, I mean, like we walk around half the church like he didn't do anything. You know,
all we
I
do
mean,
is
like
have his name.
Exactly.
That's all that stuff. Oh, we tag Jesus. Okay, so now you're going to heaven. Well, Jesus cares more. He spoke more about on this earth than he did about heaven.
Amen. That's right.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did. And another thing that Brother Tony, I was going to ask you this question, Brother Tony. The other day you said, you know, the church says God does not share his glory with anyone. You said, no, that's wrong. Can you explain to why God does share his glory, particularly with those of us who are his children?
His glory is the Holy Spirit. Where's the Holy Spirit? Inside of us.
Right. Right.
I mean, amen.
Amen. And when you said something else, and I'm asking questions that I've been asking, I said, listen to the show and I'll ask him. You said, we are righteous because of what Jesus Christ did in believing in the Holy Spirit. How do you break that down for somebody who's been taught to be righteous? You have to do 50 million things. To be righteous, you have to, you know, all the things you have to do. How do you explain to someone, either you or Chuck, how do you explain to a new one or even someone who's mature in the church and religion that righteousness is a gift from God?
I'll let Chuck answer it first.
Please, Chuck.
Well, I mean, it is his righteousness. It's not ours. I mean, I learned the most about a lot of these things from understanding the, you know, the old covenant. Okay. The way I sort of make a distinction between the two is the old covenant, God required righteousness from man, the new covenant, he supplies it, you know, and, you know, the old covenant, when they fulfilled their terms of the covenant, which didn't necessarily happen a lot, but they were blessed. You know, speaking of, you know, earthly blessings, I mean, you know, the blessings of the covenant were divine health, long life. Their kids were blessed, their crops were blessed, their herds were blessed, their clothes didn't even wear out. God protected them from their enemies. They were blessed immensely. Okay. Yes. And so, but obviously they failed in keeping God's commandments and following his laws, you know, all the time. You know, so for me, when I was told that I'm the righteousness of God in Christ, and that essentially is the gospel, you know, I just believed it and embraced it. I didn't want it to be based upon me. You know, I think most people are pretty exhausted. They don't want to necessarily admit it, but it really comes down to, you know, what are the motivations behind why we're doing things? You know, because a lot of people, you look at somebody who's maybe volunteering at the church, doing X, Y, and Z, they may be, you know, to you, they may look holy and pious and all that. And those works might be okay, but what's the motivations behind why we're doing the things that we're doing? Is it because you simply love the Lord, or is it you're sitting there thinking, you're sitting there doing it, but in the back of your mind, you're going, God, you see what I'm doing? You know, you're gonna answer my prayer now because I've been doing this. And you know, and those people are typically the people that are the most defeated. They're having the most struggles in their life. And so I really try to, if I'm talking to somebody, you know, you tend to find out that they're exhausted. They have the same feelings that we're saying right now. They may not want to admit it because they feel like if they do, God's going to strike them down or something like that.
Exactly.
But I think every single person is tired and defeated. My church is full of defeated sick people that aren't being told who they are in Christ. All they're being told is, Be sin focused, be sin conscious.
Right.
So I don't think it would be hard to tell somebody, hey, that's nonsense.
You know
I think everybody feels really the way we do, but maybe they don't necessarily realize it yet. But every person that I've ever talked to, they go, it's like relief. They go, really? I don't have to do this anymore.
Amen. And Brother Chuck, I got to tell you, I got to a point. I don't know if this ever happened in your church, but it was happening in mine, that it got to a point that I regretted. I just didn't want to go anymore. Why? You go on Wednesday for Bible study or Sunday. And I lived in a church. I was there like 5 days a week. Every brother or sister that I went up to, I'm struggling with the devil. I'm struggling with illness. I'm struggling with this. And we were always struggling. Just like you're saying, we were struggling with this, struggling with that, struggling. There was never no victory. We was always struggling. Oh, pray for me. Pray for this. Pray for that. I mean, it got to the point of, I was saying, I didn't want to go because I felt like everybody's going to say, including myself, I'm struggling with this. I'm struggling with alcohol. I'm struggling. And I struggle so much, no wonder you're weary.
And how's that attractive to the world?
Right.
You know, they come up and you're supposed to be preaching the gospel like, well, gosh, you're just as defeated as I am. Why do I need your God?
Right. And you're struggling more than I am struggling. And as a matter of fact, Brother Tony, I looked at one of your YouTubes, I think it was last night, because I said I'm going to read the whole Bible again. You said read the New Testament, and the Holy Spirit confirmed it. Read the New Testament. It's nice to read the Psalms and everything, but I want you to read the letters. So Brother Tony had a program on called Study to Be Approved. Excellent program. I'm not just saying it because he's listening. It is an excellent program because the mindset that he said about what we most have, study to be approved, that's what I had. I said, okay, I'm going to get my Greek Interlinear Bible, my Concordance, and all these books and things that I've had, and I'm going to read the New Testament. He said, no. Holy Spirit said, no. Get the, just read it. Just read. I have a Bible that has no paragraphs, no indentations. And Tony explained how it's not scholarly. It's not academic. It's just, well, Tony, how did you explain it when you said study to be approved? And you saying it's not what we think it is from our Western mindset. Can you explain what that means for those of us who are now studying again?
I will give a real short version because Friday is when I'm going to give the long version.
Ooh, goody goody.
That word
yeah, buddy. In
the King James that uses study does not mean to study. All it means is to be diligent, to be earnest. And that's that.
And I was going to fall into works. If I didn't listen to Brother Tony say what he said about studying, I know me, I would have said, okay, I got to study it for 5 hours a day, get my Greek Italian Bible, look up every word, every sentence, every period. I would have never learned anything. All I would have been doing was working to learn. Instead, the Holy Spirit said, just read it. I'll be reading it.
And in that whole paragraph there, the way the King James Version reads, you've got to study scriptures in order to. And that's not true, because when it states the word of truth, it's not talking about the written scriptures. And that's contrary to everything that's taught about that scripture.
It is.
And so, now I do want to go back before I lose my train of thought.
No, go ahead.
And answer the original question you asked, which Chuck answered it very good. I'm going to say this. What made, think of this, Moses and the burning bush. Why did God tell Moses, you're walking on sacred ground, take your sandals off?
Excellent question. Why?
The reason why was because he was there and he was touching the ground. The Holy Spirit was the Spirit of God. He made a sacred ground because his presence was right there. Now, how do we know where the righteousness of God? How do we receive it?
Yes.
Because he's placed it within us. The ground didn't have to accept it. It was just because the Spirit of God was there. Instant sacred ground.
Amen. Amen.
So we are instant sacred ground. We are instantly righteous. Now, in order for our actions to reflect that, all we have to do is what? Look at it like that. I am righteous. I don't have to do anything.
That's
he
correct.
He placed it within me.
Well, let me ask Brother Chuck a question, since you elaborated on it, Brother Tony. Brother Chuck, how would you tell someone? I'm asking this for myself, too, for real transparency. How do you tell a person? I know Brother Tony has told me many times, maybe I get it from a different point and still believe. How do we get out of the works mentality of religion so that we can really just have a nice, wonderful relationship? I'm talking to you, never met you, only through Brother Tony Myers. And I feel, wow, it's a nice guy. I can hang out with him. You know? And God, sometimes I feel God saying, you know, you could do that with me too if you stop making it so, you know, like, how do you get out of that?
Yeah, I just answered that question, but go ahead, Chuck.
Answer it again, Brother Tony.
Yeah.
Chuck. I'm serious. I'm gonna learn.
Well, again, you know, I tried the whole works aspect when I first started at my church because that's basically what was taught, or at the very least implied, and that was it was awful. You know, it was awful. Okay, you know, so again, it's hard for us, and ironically, Anthony, the only thing that's mentioned in Scripture that voids our faith. Is works, is our efforts.
Amen. Oh, such an excellent point. I was reading in Romans the other day. I read the whole letter at one time, like a letter, because you don't read a letter in pieces. And it said the Jews missed the whole thing because they tried to get it by law, by works, instead of just by faith. That's all they had to do was just to believe. He said, no, but they did. They made their own thing up by law. And the Christian church is doing that same thing now, except we have colored it differently. During this Passover, I don't know how many pastors, and I asked Brother Tony about this, I don't know how many pastors said, now you got to do that Passover, you got to get the Seder and all this stuff and everything and do all that, and they were saying, if you're not doing it, you're wrong, and having the Christian pastor, I said, Brother Tony, do we have to do the Passover? He said, no. Why? And when he said, why, I said, yeah, why would we do that since Jesus Christ was our Passover, but we're teaching that on this past Passover. I heard it on many YouTube programs, and one particular preacher went elaborate and made you feel guilty if you wasn't doing Passover. That's what I'm saying. How do we get out of these rules and regulations that Jesus said, I come to set you free?
Well, I think that's very difficult.
Thank you.
It is. Well, it is. Like I said, we grow up from the time we're knee-high to a grasshopper to, you know, live our lives based upon merit.
Perform.
So, right. I mean, it's just, we're naturally wired to think that way. And we approach every area of our life that way. Every area. You know,
rebel streak in you.
Yes.
Right.
Over it.
Right.
Well, that's right. And honestly, and tell you, and I've said this to you before, I think that rebellious, you know, spirit you had really works in your favor. I mean, because we need to really ironically be more that way.
Amen. Amen. You know, my wife said the same thing to me. She said, before you became a believer, you was rebellious. You would just roll over, you would bogart everybody. Now you've become so milquetoast and stuff. She said, why don't you be the way you were so that you God will know where you really are. You're lukewarm, she said.
Yeah.
And now I found it to be insulting. But then Tony Meyer said the same thing. You know,
Anthony, be yourself, man.
Thank you.
Be yourself. God gave you your personality for a reason. Be you. He doesn't want you to be somebody you are not.
Amen.
And honestly, as far as how, you know, all the holiness stuff people ask about, I really found out that a lot of the improvements in our like moral behavior or whatever really fix themselves unconsciously as I rest in who I am. I am the righteousness of God. I'm not trying to be righteous. I am already healed. I'm not trying to get healed. I'm not trying to get things. I am these things. You know, it's like, again, the analogy I use is pretend like you grow up in poverty all your life, and then all of a sudden you get a letter from a long lost relative saying that you're like the prince of some providence over in some other country, and now you find out you're going from a pauper to royalty. It takes a little bit of a change to get used to. Okay, I'm now this person, you know, and I think that that's part of it, you know, renewing our minds to, okay, God says I'm this. And really, I focus just on believing that. And really, just through belief, everything else just takes care of itself. I found out my language, I used to, you know, drop the F-bomb every other word practically. Same. And that fixed by itself without me trying to fix it. Okay. And everything else corrected without me trying to do it. When I was trying to do it, it didn't fix. So when I just... You know, so we got to get over that.
You know what? What you're just speaking here is so much, Brother Tony, I can't thank you enough for another amazing, inspiring guest. All the habits that I had from the alcohol and everything, God just dropped it off. I didn't have to struggle with it. And I was going to go. I was a new believer, really new. And I went to the Alcohol Anonymous in the Christian church, in a Catholic church in the basement. And I got up there. You know, you're supposed to say, my name is such and such a person. I'm not called. I went up there, did not know scripture, nothing. I went up there and said, my name is Anthony Ford. All things have passed away. All things have become new. I never knew the scripture. And I told Brother Tony, I went to another pastor and he told me you're telling yourself you're that. The Holy Spirit is saying you're not. That went away, the womanizing, the cussing, the cursing. And I didn't have to do anything per se to do it. The way God does it is you don't struggle.
Well,
you trust.
Because look. Well, that's right. And the thing is, people like when you say, "Well, I'm the righteousness of God," well, people say, "So what? You're free to do whatever?" Well, yeah. I mean, you are. I mean, look, this is how it is. I mean, like, you know, we're all married now. I'm free to treat my wife like garbage if I want to. I'm free to do that, right. But I don't want to because I love her and she loves me. God doesn't want robots.
Right, and you know,
like, yo,
what you say,
he wants a relationship with us.
When Paul said, I'm sorry to interrupt you, Brother Chuck. When Paul said, all things are permissible, but everything is not expedient, like just what you're saying, yeah, I could do
right.
this, but it's not a good thing to do, you know.
That's right,
and you put it so clearly and articulated very simply. Like another thing I love about Brother Tony, it's so simple and clear. Paul said everything is permissible, but everything is not expedient. And you put it excellently. Yeah, I could treat my wife like a dog, but I choose not to. You chose not to. Wow.
That's right.
Wow.
Man, I mean, and that's really
a choice.
That's right.
When you realize you have a choice, then you're free to choose.
Amen.
And this applies to every area. Food, right, Tony? I just finished reading that book again.
Knocking Food Off Its Pedestal?
Yep.
Great book.
And why people have so many problems, they throw themselves under the bus by putting themselves under the law, under this obligation. Now you have no choice. And what happens? That's when you get trapped by the law of sin and death. And that's
Amen.
When you start doing that, which you don't want to do.
Amen.
Because
Amen.
You don't feel you have a choice.
Amen. And Tony, you agree with this, I think. I mean, God doesn't want us to associate us being okay, sustained in any way to anything other than himself.
Amen.
Correct.
Amen. That's so true. I'm learning that. And Brother Chuck, an interesting question for you. You are currently in the church that you've been in, like you said, for several years.
Yes.
How is that working? My church was in Brooklyn, New York, and I left the church because we came to Texas, thank God. And you know, I left that whole thing, and God he told me you have to leave here because I was so steeped in the church and religion and everything. It wasn't good. How do you, in a church that you know is traditional, conservative, and what we think is conservative is really not conservative, but we just say that. How do you deal with that, knowing what you know, and you love your brothers and sisters in the church? I mean, I listen to Brother Tony. I got kicked out of 40-something churches. I'm saying, whoa. And I can understand why. He's saying the Holy Spirit speaks. Oh, boy, that's blasphemy. How do you deal with it, Chuck, when you know what God has taught you and showed you and delivered you from, and you want to see your other brothers and sisters helped? How do you?
Well, I'll say it is a struggle, and it's become more and more of a struggle to the point where I've thought about leaving. So once I, read through the Bible and have been studying it and finally, realize, hey, I can read and with the Holy Spirit's help, learn it myself. I don't need to rely on a pastor. Once that happened and I started to learn myself, that's when I really, the errors of, again, just the whole mixture of old and barely new covenant that's taught really became more and more obvious, along with, again, just seeing so many believers that are just living defeated lives. So now I don't even listen to I don't listen to any of our sermons. I mean, they're riddled with garbage. Now, there's some things that are okay, but all the bad stuff spoils anything that's good. And it's a struggle, and sometimes I just want to I don't have any hair, but if I had any hair, I just want to pull it out. Sometimes it drives me insane.
You're right.
Because and I've tried to minister to my fellow brothers and sisters many times, to try to speak truth to them. And then I've had complaints against me. I've had to have the worship leader, because I'm on the worship team, pull me aside and say, hey, Chuck, listen, you need to just kind of, be cool and all that. And just, and not, not talk about freedom to people.
Don't make waves. They used to don't make waves, Brother Ford. Don't mention that. Don't mention this. So, for real, I didn't mention anything.
Because I'm speaking truth to them. I'm speaking truth to them, not to help them set them free. And so when the church is telling you, hey, sit down and be quiet, basically.
That's rough.
So I'm kind of a black sheep there in a sense. I mean, like even now, like our church, this is just my personal view. I mean, they've really adopted like everybody's social distancing and wearing masks and hand sanitizer every 6 feet. And I just think that that's a bad testimony, and so when I go there, they make me sit in the room by myself in between services because I won't wear a mask.
Wow.
So I go on stage, I play. And then when I get off, instead of sitting in the back with the worship team, I have to go walk across the church. I go to a really big church and I have to sit in a room by myself a lot of times. So it's really rough. And you're really finding out that the church as a whole, I don't want to paint them all with too broad of a brush, but the church as a whole doesn't believe anything. They do two things. They ask you for more money and they tell you what you need to do or what you're not doing enough of. Okay. Yeah, and not necessarily in that order.
Let me break in here.
Please.
People will look at Chuck as being the one causing the division.
Right.
Truth isn't the one that divides and causes division. It is the lie that causes the division.
That's correct.
And so many people would look at Chuck or look at me. Well, you're causing the division. No, I'm not, because I'm speaking the truth. It is the ones that are speaking the lie that is the cause of the division. And Paul straights up in, I think it's Thessalonians, he states as much. It's not the ones speaking the truth that are causing the division, because its truth is solid, firm, and concrete.
I got to tell you, I'm listening to you, Brother Tony, say that. And what you're saying, Brother Chuck, is the best advice that I ever had in about a year or more was from Brother Tony. When he, I was telling him, I was listening to so many pastors on YouTube, on the radio, whatever. I was listening like 24/7. You name it, I listened to them, from Pastor Wilkerson, Joyce Myers, Faith Pastor, everyone. And Brother Tony said one day, he said, listen to my YouTubes, turn off the TV and stop. Stop. Because I had, like you said, Upchuck, it was so much confusion, so much disagreement, so much everything that even like God was saying, enough. Focus on me and me alone. And when I started doing that and reading the word and listening to just the Holy Spirit and, be honest, just talking to Brother Tony Myers, I learned to trust God more and less rely on. And then I asked Brother Tony Myers, well, who do you listen to? I don't listen to many of anyone, he said. And his pastor, Bill, to me, is a fine pastor. And I just listening to him. But Brother Tony, he doesn't listen to him. And he said, guys, do likewise. Do likewise. And you still hold to that, Brother Tony, right? You do not listen to a whole bunch of different pastors. And
no, I don't.
Thank you. And when I listen to you, Brother Chuck, and Brother Tony, you said you were saved for about 8 years now, right?
Yeah, it's about 8 years.
Listening so. To you now, you sound, listen, I told this to Brother Tony, you would think that you had been a Christian for 20 years, and that's what the audience always thinks. Well, these men must have been Christians all their lives. They must have fasted every day. They must have went to seminary. They must have got DVDs and all. You don't. You don't have any religious degrees, do you, Chuck?
No, I didn't grow up in the church either. So I would say the advantage is I didn't have any religious filter until I started going to church, and then I started to get some of that.
Right. And when
I'm sorry.
When I asked Brother Tony, after reading his books, how did he get this wisdom? How did he get this knowledge? You would think. I would ask Brother Tony, and you would think that he would say, well, you know, I got so many degrees, and I went to Harvard Divinity School, like my pastor, who really did go to Harvard Divinity, and it's hard to talk to somebody who goes to Harvard Divinity. And he would say, the Holy Spirit. No big thing. That's all. He said, the Holy Spirit. Wait a minute. How did you learn about it? Remember, I'm an atheist. I didn't study. I don't know all that stuff. I didn't get a concordance until after I was reading the word for two or three years. So I'm saying, well, how did you learn this? The Holy Spirit. And you read his book, his theology is foundational. It's not that he's making this stuff up. You read the things that he's saying. And
amen.
And read it and pray about it. Everything that he's written, I prayed about it, and God confirmed. He confirms it by scripture. So I'm saying, if we have a teacher like you, Brother Chuck, we have a teacher like Brother Tony Myers, but you guys, look, it's hard to say this, but you brothers in Christ are not accorded the respect that you should because of the fact that you're preaching the truth. How do you get around this?
One, I ain't looking for respect. Those that want to hear it and want to seek the truth, they will. Those that don't, they won't. Correct.
That's right. I mean, and my motivations at my church are trying to minister to people isn't for ego or anything like that. It's just if they're struggling, it's the truth that sets you free. And that's all. I want to see people free as well, just like Tony does. You know, I want us to walk in everything that Jesus suffered greatly to give us. Because if I don't want to live my life knowing something he suffered for goes unreceived in my life somehow.
So if I can understand, sorry to interrupt you, Brother Chuck. If I can understand both you, Brother Chuck, and you, Brother Tony, you're saying the least amount of self-effort on our part as believers is the best way to be dependent upon God. Is that what you're saying?
Yes. Wow. Well, look, I've been trusting, like, in the area of my health, and I mean, I'm talking about doctors, even dentists. I mean, I've been trusting God solely for it. Not God's my plan B. I'm doing this. He is my plan A, B, C, and D. And I've had challenges, but I've been trusting him completely, solely.
And for those of you, a little disclaimer, for those.
I'm not saying you should do that. Right. you have to be led. I was led. I mean, the Holy Spirit guided me down this path. And so, yeah, I mean, you don't do something because I did it,
right,
or because Tony did it. You have to believe it and have a revelation of it yourself.
Brother Chuck is in no way, shape, form, or manner telling you, do not visit your doctor, do not go to your hospital. No, he's telling you, I am here because of the Holy Spirit. You can be there too.
That's correct.
A year ago, I took more pills than I ever thought I would in my life. Down to two now. Two, thanks to God. And I won't go to my doctor. I don't want to see him. Now, that's for me.
That's exactly right. Mm. Everybody has to make their own decision on what you can believe. For me, all the bad experiences I had with doctors made it easier for me to believe, for me personally, to just simply go, God, whatever you got, I want it, and I'm willing to put all my eggs in one basket. That was a personal choice. I'm not, everybody has to make their own decisions on what they think is best for them. But for me, due to all that, it made it easier to believe for myself.
And if we believers take the time to really read God's word, Old Testament and New Testament, what does God say? I am the Lord that heals you. By his stripes you were healed. I mean, over and over in both Old and New Testament, God is telling you, I am the healer. And like you said at the very beginning, Chuck, you said for 40 years, their shoes didn't run out. They didn't get sick. They didn't get diseases. They didn't get nothing.
Dude, I mean, that's what I'm saying. Under the old covenant, they were blessed. And now today, what do we think? What did Jesus do? What did the only thing he accomplished? Well, when you die, you'll get to see it.
Right.
And that's great. But that's, I'm still alive.
That's cutting it short because what Jesus did is greater than what Moses did. I mean, really, Jesus said himself.
That's right.
And if you under the old covenant, the law, and doing after that, the people didn't suffer anything for 40 years. Here we got the Son of God, the Holy Spirit living in us, and we're murmuring and complaining more than they did. We have God in us.
If I could press the clap button, I would do that.
You're doing fine. I mean,
hey, man, that's exactly right.
And that was not even me. That was the Holy Spirit. Because I, you know what he's telling me a lot of times, what do brothers say? Get over yourself. I did it all.
That's right. So look, I mean, we should expect at the very least the same. Our expectation should be, wow, under the old covenant, these carnally minded people had these blessings. Like, yes, right. It was contingent on their behavior and them listening and following God's laws and decrees. But when they did, they were blessed.
Beyond belief. And a question for both you, Brother Chuck and Brother Tony Myers. Jesus said himself, and correct me if I'm wrong, and man shall do greater things than I, greater things than I. I'm thinking, Jesus, you did everything. You walked on water. You raised the dead. You calmed storms. Did he not say we shall do greater things than I? What does that mean, Brother Chuck and Brother Tony? What does it mean?
Pushing the boundaries, pushing the boundaries in Christ, right, Tony?
Yep. That's in a nutshell. We have no boundaries.
Well, right. Jesus is, when in doubt, Jesus, walked in the kingdom. He's an example for what walking in the kingdom, walking in the spirit, what that looks like. I mean, so, he's inside of us.
Not only that, we only got a small amount of what he did. He did more than all the world's books could contain.
Amen.
That's true. That's right. That verse.
That if all the things that Jesus did were written down, there wouldn't be enough libraries to hold all the books.
That's right.
That's right. So there is no boundaries to what we can accomplish in Christ, period. We put the boundaries there.
Well, how do we convey, Brother Tony, that God is in us? He's not in the sky. He's not in the church. He's not even how do you convey to all of us believers who are hungry and trying that God is in us? There are no limits.
Make a choice and believe it.
Elaborate, Brother Tony. You know I'm going to ask you that. I know
you make the choice.
To believe.
To believe. Take it as an unquestionable fact and quit questioning it.
A question, Brother Tony, from a person, Warren. I feel I'm not being fed in my church. Should I leave my church in search of a church that feeds me, like YouTube? He said, YouTube. What would you gentlemen, you brothers in Christ, suggest to a person like Warren, who feels and knows after talking to you, Brother Chuck, and you, Brother Tony, listening to you guys, I'm not being taught.
Well, Warren, let me just add this again. You know, my church, you know, and I've struggled with that myself. I mean, now my church is full of great people, so I'm by no means trying to say the people there aren't great. They're wonderful. Amen. Okay. You know, but I, at least at this point, I felt like maybe the Lord put me there just to try to speak truth where I can, to try to help guide people where I can. And so I have had those opportunities, but I would say, you know, pray about it, ask the Holy Spirit, you know, should I leave, and let him lead and guide you on whether that's the appropriate thing to do. You know, 'cause I've been thinking about that myself. You know, but that's the best bet. Just ask him and let him lead you to do what you need to do. I mean,
Brother Tony,
to tag on to that, and I agree, first and foremost, you ask the Holy Spirit. But here's one question you can ask yourself. Am I making an impact on them, or are they impacting me? They are impacting you.
Good point.
Then what's the obvious choice? If you are making an impact there, then what's the obvious choice?
That's right.
So you're right. I'm well gonna said. Leave it at that, because I'm not going to tell. I'm going to point you to the Holy Spirit, number one. You ask the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, if it's affecting you negatively in some way, then I would leave. But if you feel like, you know, like in my case, I feel like I'm, well, maybe having a positive impact here and there, then maybe you staying for a season is what, you know, the Lord wants you to do, just to have that positive impact. I don't know your story, Warren, but I think Tony, you know, hit the nail on the head there.
Wow. And so many people, like I know how I was torn. It took a lot for God to move me out of my church, because I thought that if you don't have, you know, if they say do not forsake the fellowship, because many are sleeping because they didn't go to church. That's what the scripture says. But of course, the scripture was interpreted wrong. And it's one scripture that Brother Tony talked about the other day, that the way it sounded, it's not the way it sounded. But if you read it like that, it sounds, and the church would teach it like that. It's like tithing. You know, Malachi, Brother Tony says, no. It was the priest who was supposed to tithe, but you will never get a modern day church preacher to say that.
Yes, I actually was under bondage to that as well, Anthony. When I first started at my church, they taught the tithe. I didn't know any better. I was like, okay, we'll tithe. And our account stayed in the red much of the time. I didn't see this blessing, you know, coming down because I was tithing like they were suggesting. And we were in the red. It was unsustainable, and we had to stop it. And I obviously received a lot of guilt, shame, and condemnation over that initially. And that's when I started to look into that. And so I was there as well. So I understand that. I can relate to that.
And neither of us, Brother Chuck and Brother Tony, are not right. I was going to say, Brother Chuck and Brother Tony are not in no way, shape, form of saying that church is bad, that they disagree. No, they're simply saying that the truth that the Holy Spirit has taught them could be taught to anyone.
Tony, Anthony.
Yes.
I got to say this.
Please.
Religion is bad.
Agreed.
And if you're in a religious church, that is bad.
That's correct.
That is correct.
I stand corrected. That is correct. If you're
because religion will kill you.
Are the people that go to the church, am I saying they're bad? No.
That's right.
But I am saying the organization of church, which is religion,
right,
in most churches, that's poison, and it will kill you.
That's correct.
So true. And it's
because if you're getting taught, for example, hey, that you know God doesn't always heal, that it's his will that your child is dying of cancer for his glory, or some other garbage like that, that kind of stuff, you know, will kill you and kill people that you love. So I mean, religion and its effects, even if there are some positives in there, all the negatives just, they destroy any good that comes out of it. Now, I'm not saying it's necessarily intentional. Maybe the people teaching these things are well in meaning and well in intentioned. I'm not suggesting that. But the point is, religion, it kills people.
True, but
people are dying needlessly because of it.
And here's another thing that kills people. Take the meat and take the bone and just swallow the meat. That's another killing statement. Because why? Because you're saying to separate truth. All right. In Paul's writings, which bones are you going to throw out? Did Paul have any bones in his writings when properly interpreted by the Holy Spirit? No, he did not.
You know what you said, Brother Tony, right now, and what you said, Brother Chuck, is that, like you said, you're sick, you have a sick child or whatever, and the church says, well, you know, God loved him more than you do, or that this was meant to teach you a lesson. And if you don't read the word for yourself, you may say, well, the pastor knows. I had all my pastors on pedestals, and I didn't think they could say anything wrong. But when I read it for myself, I could not find any person, and I challenge anyone to find anywhere in the New Testament that Jesus did not heal. Everyone that came to him says, over, he healed them. He healed them all. It doesn't matter, but he healed them all. I don't know where the church comes at that. Well, he didn't heal everybody. Who didn't he heal?
Well, and that's correct.
He did not heal the ones who did not come to him. And if you're going to religion, then you are coming to Christ.
Yeah, you're coming to religion.
That's right. And you notice the Pharisees, there wasn't one Pharisee that received from Jesus.
No, they couldn't. They knew everything. And Jesus said, because you know everything, you're blind.
That's our problem. We think we know everything. Man's knowledge.
And
the tree of knowledge of good and evil.
I don't know.
We're eating from it too much.
I don't know if you've done it, Brother Chuck, but I know Brother Tony Myers doesn't. I had a terrible habit for many years until God had to really break me out of it, of putting my pastors on pedestals. They could do no wrong. They were always right. And I respected them, and I love them, still do. But like you say, you can't let them teach. I mean, my pastor told me at one time, all my brothers passed away due to sickle cell anemia. Okay. And my pastor told me at one time, you know what, Brother Ford, it's okay to tell God to take your brother home. And I believe that. And on a Friday night, 2:30 in the morning, my brother said, Anthony, I'm tired. My body's all broke down and everything. Don't pray for me anymore. God listens to you. Don't pray for me anymore. I said, but I can't leave you. He said, don't pray for me anymore. I didn't pray. For the one time in 7 years that I didn't pray for my brother, I went onto the lobby to sit down. About 5 minutes later, two priests come up to me and say, are you Anthony Ford? I said, yes, I'm sorry to inform you, your brother just passed away. The one time that I didn't pray. Now, I'm not saying the connection was like that, but I remember being told it's okay to ask God to basically take your brothers home, to kill them. And in scripture, now knowing better, I should have never did it, because Jesus, no matter if Lazarus was dead, he raised him from the dead. There's no hopeless situation in God. But nonetheless, the church is teaching that to this day. The church still teaches that. They teach that as God's will. God loves him more than you love him. God cares about him. So God gave you a 5-year-old child, like my son had at 9 years old, some horrible thing. And I prayed and prayed and prayed, and miraculously, he was healed. And if the hospital didn't believe it, nobody believed it. But I know one thing, God did it. And now I'm saying, after many, 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 many years, listen to somebody like Brother Tony Myers, and now hearing you, Brother Chuck, we have more than we ever imagined right in the palm of our bodies.
And I think that's really at the heart of it. I mean, and you talked about your son that was, you know, healed. I've had several experiences with that. I mean, for the most part, my family and I, we are walking in divine health.
Amen.
I know younger, when I was in the very beginning of my walk of healing, you know, my son was 2 or 3 at the time. He was at a church camp, and they called me in the middle of the day saying, hey, you need to come pick him up. He's got a really bad fever. And so I was just getting into this. Obviously, I felt some emotion, and that some worry tried to come upon me. And I just had this verse. Again, this is early on. just recycling in my head as I was driving down to pick them up. These signs will follow those that believe. They will lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Amen. So that was just on repeat. So I walked in. He was in a lot of discomfort. I picked him up. I carried him out. I didn't even pray for him, but I just held him close, believing that I was releasing life into him.
And you didn't pray for him?
Well, it doesn't say to pray. It just says, these signs will follow those that believe. Lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. It didn't say anything about talking.
Come
now,
on.
I wasn't thinking that. I just felt, because it was definitely from deep within, that I am releasing life into him. We take him up to the doctor. They said he had really bad strep throat. That was serious, that he had really bad strep throat, which is really bad in adults. But so we took him home, and you would have never known it.
Wow.
He was running around acting exactly the same as he was. For somebody that apparently had a very bad case of strep throat, you would have never known it.
Praise the Lord. Praise.
And then there's only been two other situations where he felt unwell, but he was fine almost immediately. But otherwise, I've experienced miracles. It's not just a once, here and there. I mean, I'm walking. Yeah, not perfectly. I have my frustrations and the areas where I struggle at times, but we think we got to get to this pedestal, or we have to climb some hill, or jump through this hoop or that hoop. That is garbage.
Oh, wow. Garbage.
Just childlike faith, man. Childlike faith. Just believe.
And doesn't take words.
Oh no, I didn't pray for him. I didn't pray for him.
People, so many times. Well, what type of prayer do you need to give? Tell me. My wife's suffering from this. What words do I need? I don't care if you say a word or not.
It's like when you said the other day, Brother Tony, I've read the Bible through and through several times, and I didn't notice this or didn't see it until Brother Tony Meyer said the other day, the woman who was caught in adultery, she said she didn't even repent. He forgave her without like anything. He just forgave her. He said, is there anyone here to condemn you? No, neither do I. Man, when you learn of the love of God, the real love, we shouldn't be sick. I don't care what they say. We shouldn't be sick because he says,
from a place of we're always working backwards. We're trying to get healed first. Instead, we should be working from I am in divine health.
How do you get there, Brother Tony? That's an inspired statement. How does one get there that I am in health as opposed to I got to get health?
We are.
Renewing your mind. What I say the other day, transformation comes by what? The renewing of your mind.
Amen. Romans.
So you renew your mind to the fact that you are in divine health. So therefore, the miracle will happen without you even thinking about it.
And without you struggling and trying, correct?
Yes.
Well, and the truth that you are healed is not contingent on the presence or absence of symptoms in your body. You're healed because God says you're healed. So really, at the end of the day, he said it. That should settle it.
And we don't have to help God to give us our healing, correct? Do we have to?
No, we just have to come into agreement with him.
I love that word, agreement. Yeah, because that's right. He says we're already healed. So if we're sitting there asking God for something that he's already given us, it's like me, Anthony, giving you my keys, and you keep asking me for my keys. I'm like, Anthony, I've already given you my keys.
And hey, Chuck, you're going to think I'm bugging or something. You say, wait a minute, I gave you the keys.
That's right. So it's already done. I mean, look, you have to settle it in your mind. Did Jesus do enough or not? Did he do it or not? Is what he did sufficient for you, or isn't it?
And the answer is yes or no. There are no ifs, ands, or buts.
That's right. And only you can make that choice. Did he do enough, or did Jesus forget something? Or is he up there and the Father's going, oh, Jesus, you forgot to carry that for Anthony or for so-and-so. Oh, get down there. You forgot something. I mean, we have got to sell it. is it finished or isn't it?
Amen.
Come on.
You settle it. That's where the freedom lies.
This is all.
That's right. And then the rest of it isn't your job. Isn't your job to make it, where you come to pass in your body or in your flesh or whatever area of your life that you're needing some kind of deliverance in? Did Jesus do it or didn't he? Is he a good savior or not?
Wow.
There's no in between. Either Jesus did more than Adam or he did less. Well, it's either greater or less. I mean, which is it?
I was going to ask you, to the person, Brother Chuck, that is saying and shaking their heads right now, saying, how did you get to where you are now? Only having been, like I said, 8 years, not 40, 8 years, how did you get to where you are now? We know Brother Tony was instrumental, but what part did you, what did you do?
Well, God, I didn't do anything. God, I believe God has helped me to supernaturally believe. I mean, yes, I made the choice, but I don't feel like I did anything. I feel like he just, sort of caused me to walk down this path. I don't really feel like I really did much. I feel like I sort of was bottlenecked down towards the path. Cause I remember saying, I was walking my dog saying, okay, God, I think I just would rather just trust you entirely for my health. Is that cool? That's my conversation was like that. I talked to God just like I'm talking you guys. I say, Lord, is that cool? And I just felt good about it. I felt at peace about it. I didn't feel any, weapons if it doesn't work or blah, blah, blah. It felt very easy. I just felt, I didn't feel like I was trying to do anything, Anthony,
And that's why, Anthony, that question is null and void.
Right. I was just going to ask him, can you repeat what you just said, Brother Chuck? I remember one time Brother Tony said the first thing he said, I said, hey, dude. I said, he said that to guys. Yeah, I said, hey, dude, you said you didn't use it. You just talked to him like you're talking to us. Nope.
Yeah.
Can you please repeat that?
Yeah, I talked to my father just like I would, I talked to him normally, like I would talk to anybody. He made me the way that I am, with the personality that I am, with my, with my sense of humor. Why would I pretend like he didn't? He wants me to be myself. I want my son to act like himself around me. My son doesn't need to change the way he talks or put on some kind of airs in order to impress me or for me to love him or whatever. So why would it be any different with my Heavenly Father? So I talk to him normally. And so I feel like with everything I went through, I can't, say this for sure, but I feel like all those things I went through in the past just made it easy for me to believe. And I feel like he's the one ultimately inside me that helped me to believe. I don't feel like I'm struggling to believe. I don't want anything from the world. I don't want to do things by man's wisdom or man's ways anymore. I'm not having to struggle to feel that way. I just don't want anything to do with it.
Which enables you to do what? To enjoy your life.
That's right. And so I'm more free, because I'm not dependent. In the areas where we're really trusting God, you're free. Okay. It's still in the areas where you're relying upon self-sufficiency, man's wisdom, man's ways. We're always going to be on that treadmill in any area of your life. And with that, fear, anxiety, because you think it's based upon you. If you don't do this, law of sin and death, you're going to get this. If you do this and all that stuff, we've been free from that. God does not want us under all that crap. He wants us to be like my son, Adam and Eve, prior to their fall, walking through the cool of the day. They were trusting in God entirely. They weren't worried about where their provision in any area was going to come from. They were just enjoying themselves. Like my son who runs around the house, carefree, doesn't care about anything.
Amen. Brother Tony, do you concur? Do you also agree?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Wow. This is incredible. Brother Chuck, wow. Once again, Brother Tony, you did it again by the Holy Spirit. Wow. I don't want the time to go. Brother Chuck, if you can tell us the information where people can reach you, if you have a website, social information, anything, we'd very much appreciate it.
Okay, well, I do have a YouTube page. It's not for Bible or faith related stuff, though I'm thinking of maybe starting something at some point, but it's drum videos. So if you go to Chuck Barchuk on YouTube, you will find my YouTube page and all my drumming videos. So if you find one and you want to make a comment, feel free to reach out to me. I want to see people blessed, just like Tony does. I want to see people walking in what's been provided for them, because it's already done and it belongs to them.
It's theirs. You are a blessing, Brother Chuck. Believe me, you are a blessing. Brother Tony, I know you have a lot of information to share. Would you please give your information to the Mark Howard Broadcast audience, sir? Okay, brother. go ahead, Brother
Tony. My website is tonybelieves.com. On there is my email address, my phone number. Everything's on there. My YouTube is Tony Myers Healing. And let's see.
Your upcoming tour.
I'm making it.
Yes.
Do what?
Your upcoming tour.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you, Holy Spirit.
If you're a pastor, if you have a venue, then probably in July, we're putting a size called Outside the Four Walls Summer Awakening. And it is to raise the funds for the movie so we can go full speed ahead on it. So just drop me an email or call me and we'll get you set up.
Wow. You heard that. And by the way, I want to just say this. Brother Tony Myers' books are available on Amazon, and I cannot strongly suggest get his books, not because he's a guest on the Mark Howard Broadcast, but you will be blessed. I read them all.
They are outstanding.
Thank you, Brother outstanding. Chuck. And Brother Chuck is not saying, he's saying it from his heart. They are outstanding.
I've read all of them as well. And what's interesting with Tony's books is you will get the non-churchy, non-Christianese, non-religious perspective, which will be very refreshing to anybody that decides to read them.
And that's the favorite word I use with Brother Tony Myers and his guests. You guys are so refreshing. You'll also learn that Tony Myers loves coffee. But the fact is that listening to you, Brother Chuck, I mean, wow, I'm listening to the guy who's only been in the Lord 8 years, and you sound up, you sound refreshed, you sound inspiring, you sound encouraging, you just sound real.
Well, no, I talk the same way no matter who it is. God doesn't want us to be somebody we're not. Just be yourself.
It's amazing that all of the guests, including a 12-year-old Bella, who I'm enamored of, that little girl, 12-year-old Bella, Michelle Snyder, all of his guests have had this sense of refreshing non-Christianese, just talking from the heart about God and learning about him and knowing him. As a matter of fact, Chuck, if you had to summarize for the Mark Howard Broadcast audience, which goes around the world, somehow our largest group of folks is in Australia, which is weird to me. I don't understand it, but I don't care as long as the word is out. How would you summarize to a person that really wants to know God, who really wants to know the Holy Spirit, who really wants to speak, in other words, who wants to be sold out for God, who really wants God? What would you tell them? And Brother Tony, can you also respond to that, to the audience to say, and there's many who really want what you guys have. They really want to know God like that. What would you summarize, Brother Chuck, and tell them to do or not to do?
Well, I would, my answer would be very simplistic, I guess, but just start talking to him. I mean, he loves you.
Wow.
So I know that's a very maybe cliche answer, but that's where it starts. I mean, just talk to him. Get rid of the, don't worry about, he knows how you feel anyway. He knows your thoughts. He knows the things that are in your heart, whether you speak them out or not. So, I mean, he knows the number of hairs on your head. I mean, so, you know, there's no hiding. You know, so I think we just, gosh, we got to drop all the, just the garbage and all the religiosity and just, you know, and just be yourself and go to him. And man, the more you speak from the heart, even if it's bad, I mean, gosh, David, you know, cried out to God in anguish in several of the Psalms. I mean, you know, speak to God from the heart. What's on your heart? You know, because he knows how you feel anyway. I mean, it's like we're always living in this illusion of putting on airs to portray some image to each other. You know, like Facebook, where everything is like an illusion. Look at me, my life is amazing, or whatever. Then the cameras go off, and you're this other person. So I just say, be yourself. Talk to God. Tell him. You know, pour your heart out to him. Brother, I mean, that's where it begins.
Brother Chuck, you just spoke a boatload of truth. When I first met who is now my wife, and I would pray, it was so formal. I mean, for real. Oh, thou great King of Kings, Lord of Lords, like church prayed. And Bernice, who's Italian, she would just pray simply, Father, thank you. And that was it. And then one day when I was praying, I distinctly heard, I didn't know then, the Holy Spirit said, pray like her. Pray like her, because it was so simple. It was just straight, like you're saying. No, she prays with no pretense, no nothing. Anthony, God knows my heart. What am I going to tell him that he doesn't know? How am I going to dress it up and make it sound different?
You got it.
Yeah, and you said the whole thing. And my wife, who was Italian, as I said, she has a way of just talking directly. And I noticed, I said, gee, her prayers seem to get answered more quickly, because God says she gets to the point. I have to go through all of this rigmarole because I've been, but I'm getting out of it, thank God. But Brother Tony, what would you say in summary to individuals who are like myself and others who are seeking to know God for God, not through church, not through religion, not through all this other stuff? What would you tell the individuals in this, around the world right now?
I'm going to answer the original question.
Please.
And your original question was, How do they have what you have?
Right.
You have it. Mm. Question answered.
Amen. I mean, that's right. I mean, every person that's listening, you are already righteous. You are already a child of God. You're already healed.
Quit striving for it. Quit trying to get something you feel you don't have.
Amen.
You have everything I have.
That's correct. Just acknowledge that you have it, come into agreement, and let the good times roll. Really.
Wow, that's a great way to put it. It's a great way to just make us all feel like this is not hard.
Well, we do. I mean, it is really simple. And I believe me, I've had my own struggles in my walk and my own frustrations.
Yes.
And I can tell you in that it isn't God that makes it difficult. Okay. We make it difficult. Because of a lot of the things that we've been talking about today, but you already have it. That's right. Everything that God's going to do for you, he's done it, and it's inside of you. The kingdom of God is inside of you. You're already healed.
Wow.
Okay. Jesus already bore your sicknesses and diseases. It's done. Come into agreement with it. Okay. That's all it takes.
Wow.
That's all it takes.
And don't
measure, you know, if it's true or not based upon, you know, what your body is telling you. Okay. That's the beauty of it. So you can be liberated that the truth of you being healed isn't contingent on the absence or presence of symptoms in your body. So look to that truth. And then as you do that, as you believe it, you will see it.
Brother Chuck, I cannot thank you enough for the blessings you have given the Mark Howard Broadcast audience. And I hope I didn't take too much of your time. I know Brother Tony said, well, you have other things to do. So I'm really hoping that it wasn't taking too much of your time, but I want to thank you for what you, once again, for blessing us. And as I say to you always, Brother Tony Myers, and I mean it, your guests are extraordinary. They're refreshing. They're just great. For lack of, they're just great. And I thank you so much over and over again for bringing such blessings to the whole world through your guests. I really mean that. I thank you. And I cannot thank you enough, Chuck, for your candidness, your openness, your honesty, your integrity, saying, you know, I just talk to God. You know, this is not hard. Yeah, I want you to have the blessing. It's like God is talking through you to us. It's saying, like, follow him.
That's right.
And I'm telling you, each time I come to the show, it doesn't matter, on every Wednesday, I wind up getting emotional because I'm saying, thank you, Father. Not that I deserve anything, but because of your love, your graciousness, no mercy, you brought a brother Tony Midas to me. You brought a brother Chuck Broderick to us all.
That's right.
And I appreciate that. I really do. As a matter of fact, brother Chuck, if you don't mind, I would like you to end the Mark Howard broadcast this day in prayer, sir. Please.
Yeah, absolutely. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for this time that's been spent. We thank you that you are our special guest on the program, that we got to hear from you, Lord, speak truth, to all of us, because we all need to hear it. So, Father, right now, I just speak life over every single person that's going to hear this. I speak life over their bodies, life over their families, life over their careers. I pray your blessing is upon them, your blessing of favor, your blessing of health and protection to them and all their families. And Father, I just pray that their hearts would be open to everything that they're receiving, because you're right there with them. It doesn't matter where this person is that's listening. It doesn't matter when they hear this, that you're there with them. And as they receive this, their heart is open, and that everything that you've already done, they will recognize right then and there. And I just declare every person is blessed in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father.
Folks, you've been listening to the Mark Howard broadcast, and you've been listening to two God-driven, God-centered, God-inspired men of God, Brother Chuck Broderick and Brother Tony Myers. And all I can say is to both of you, brothers in Christ, thank you, thank you, thank you. If you listen to what they say, they're telling you the absolute truth. Get Brother Tony Myers' books. Listen to this over and over again so you can get it in your heart. I listen to a lot of these things over again, that God is for us. We don't have to struggle. Chuck said it several times. My son can be himself. He doesn't have to do anything different or special. And all I can say again, Brother Tony, is thank you. Brother Chuck, thank you. You guys have a godless week. And Brother Tony, as you know, I always say, any of your guests, please, I really appreciate you and your guests and the way the Holy Spirit is bringing all you guys to the world that can help many of us, including myself, get to know God and not religion. I thank you both, and I bless you both, and I thank you, Father, for the guests of having Chuck Broderick and Tony Myers. Thank you so much for your faithfulness, goodness, grace, and mercy. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you, guys. God bless.